Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Right after the 6:30 Fox News update, talking about Israel and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's great interview that he had over the weekend on Fox, in his speech to the UN on Friday, and just how absurd it is that you've got people that want to reward the Hamas terrorists after what they did with this atrocity on October 7th. And then we played a soundbite from even Democrat Senator John Fetterman calling out that absurdity, also calling out his own party for trying to shut down the government with their list of demands here with just a couple of days to go before a funding deadline. But on a related note, It was interesting. There was this there was a soundbite from Bill Maher's program on HBO. Do you guys know who Whitney Cummings is? I'm not familiar with her. Apparently, she's a comedian, like a stand-up comedian out there. And but anyway, she was on. Oh yeah, I gotta play that. I'll play that clip later in the day. That's actually a different topic altogether. So that clip caught my eye from Bill Maher's program on HBO. But then there was another soundbite where Bill Maher, who is not a Christian, by the way, started talking about the slaughter of Christians that's taking place in Nigeria right now. A big story that the media refuses to cover, and so many of these peace activists refuse to cover as well here. Anyway, Vigilant Fox shared this one via X. Very important message here coming from, you know, a very liberal guy, Bill Maher. But he also ties in, you know, the folks that are absolutely deranged and unhinged over the Israel-Gaza situation as well.
Nigeria, I mean, mm-hmm. The fact that this issue has not gotten on people's radar.
Right, no one's talking about it.
It's pretty amazing. If mm-hmm. if you don't know what's going on in Nigeria, mm-hmm. your media sources suck. You are in a bubble. And again, I'm not a Christian, but they are systematically yep. killing the Christians in Nigeria. They've killed over 100,000 since 2009. They've burned 18,000 churches. This is so much more. These are their Islamists, Boko mm-hmm. Haram. This is so much more of a genocide attempt yeah. than what is going on in Gaza. They are literally attempting to wipe out the Christian population of an entire country. Where are the kids protesting this?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. No one will talk about it, so thank you.
Great point. By the way, Nancy Mace, Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace was on, who was highlighting this issue, which led to that response from Bill Maher. But yeah, instead of standing up to the radical Islamists that are on the march, committing these atrocities all over the world, you talk about October 7th, look at what's been happening to Christians in Nigeria. How many October 7ths is that? How many 9/11s is that? And yet, nothing. Nothing. Instead, they bow down and they bend at the knee to these radical Islamic extremists and then want to reward them with statehood after committing an atrocity like October 7th. Nonetheless, sounds like President Trump is working with Bibi Netanyahu and all sides to broker a peace deal here. But it's just completely deranged to hand a gift to the people that committed an atrocity like that.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, with sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. Slight chance for a shower storm late in Bozeman. For tonight, otherwise looking at clear to partly cloudy skies, slight chance for a shower storm in the Bozeman area. Low temperatures in the upper 40s in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. Then with sunshine on Tuesday, slight chance for a shower storm in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. An unsettling possible link between sugary beverages and cancer. A recent study suggesting those types of drinks can directly boost cancer's ability to spread. Researchers at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, in partnership with other institutions, say they found that the combination of glucose and fructose, typically found in soda, fruit juice, or sports drinks, activates a pathway that makes colorectal cancer cells more mobile. The findings published in Nature Metabolism suggest that colorectal cancer cells are using the sugars as fuel to enhance their ability to migrate and invade. In the U.S., more than half of adults and nearly two-thirds of young people consume sugar-sweetened beverages daily. For now, the simplest takeaway is that cutting back on sugary drinks may lower not only the risk of developing colorectal cancer, but also its ability to spread once present. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, we got a big week coming up with Montana Talks, taking you all across the state. Monday, we're in studio taking your phone calls and more. Tuesday, live from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association annual meeting in Great Falls. Wednesday, back in studio. Thursday, we're in Whitefish for the Montana Equipment Dealers. And then Friday, live from Northwest Parts and Equipment just south of Columbia Falls. Big week ahead, but we definitely want to sneak in some of your phone calls. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, for our good news business story to kick things off this morning, go to montanatalks.com. Great news for high-wage jobs in Thompson Falls, Montana. If you ask me, this is great news for making mining in America great again, great news for Western Montana, and great news for high-wage jobs in Thompson Falls. Yeah, the U.S. antimony corporation, they basically make a, you know, critical, you know, they process a critical mineral that's used for so many different national defense materials as well, but they are significantly going to be ramping up production and their processing capabilities in Thompson Falls. So they're basically going to be able to double their workforce and bring in, you know, millions more dollars to that neck of the woods as well. So very good news there. You can check it out at montanatalks.com. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here every Monday. Evelyn, where should we start? I see you've got a story here in the hot sheet about home sales spiking. Is this a nationwide report or a local Montana report?
Well, it's a nationwide report. And they say that sales of new homes spiked in August as builders piled on discounts and slashed prices to lure buyers. And this is according to Market Watch. The sales rate for new single-family homes in August was 800,000, which is a 20% increase over July. And it's the highest level since January 2022. The jump is attributed to the fact that builders are stepping up sales incentives such as mortgage rate buy-downs, which means the builder offers a lower rate to the buyer for a period of time before it adjusts upwards. And in September, 39% of builders said they cut home prices. And so while this was a nationwide report, I think there is increasing evidence, if you just kind of look around, that our housing market is moving and starting to stir around a bit. There's more signs popping up that houses are for sale. And it's probably, you know, it's too soon, I'm sure, to have any data on there. But I think that future data, which is probably soon to come, will support the fact that we too are seeing increased home sales here.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I imagine too that once come springtime, we see some more changes at the Federal Reserve, we see more reductions in the interest rates, I think that would, you know, ease the ability for more people to get into homes as well. I would, or at least get people to want to purchase even more homes here. I did see, I don't know if this was in the Big Sky Business Journal or somewhere else, that basically the continued in-migration of people that have come into Montana is still keeping our unemployment numbers pretty low here as well. But, yeah, I wonder if when interest rates lower, that will increase the home sales, especially for those folks who've been trying to get into homes but have been holding out because of prices.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. Montana is still ranked up there as one of the most costly states for home buyers. So it could certainly drop in and it wouldn't be bad, but, well, I don't know. We have all those people coming in. I heard someone say last week that from the city that the biggest problem that everybody cites is the traffic in Billings. So
yeah,
maybe that's not a good thing.
Not just the traffic in Billings, but I was at the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame banquet on Saturday night, and one of the rodeo legends I was talking to there, he was talking about being in Bozeman because, you know, they had the homecoming game on Saturday, and he's like, man, they didn't even have 19th Street when I was there. I was like, and now it's a parking lot, you know, traffic there. But yeah, it's a, you know, similar problem. Nobody's got it as bad as Missoula's got it, though, because Missoula, you know, at least other parts of the state, people are like, okay, how are we going to help with traffic? Are we going to add a lane here? Are we going to build a bypass? What are we going to do? Missoula, they're like, you know what? Let's make it harder. Let's take four lanes and drop it down to two. They just figure out how to make it even worse, because they think that if they make it harder for people to drive, that everybody will start riding bicycles. And yet, nobody's riding bicycles. They're just getting more miserable in traffic.
Yeah, I had a cousin who pointed out, I was complaining, of course, I think I did, on your program about the traffic in Bozeman and Belgrade and how insane it is. But he said he thought that the traffic had probably increased just as much in Billings, but that Billings has planned ahead and is more is ready to accommodate greater traffic. And he said that never happened in Bozeman. So it was just an interesting observation, I thought.
Well, you look at, you know, you got to go back 20 plus years ago. I mean, and of course, continued credit to the late Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund, and also to the late former U.S. Senator Conrad Burns. And, you know, you look at and then even before John was a commissioner, you look at what was done there with the Zoo Drive exit and planning ahead there. And I mean, that place is going bonkers right now with the Costco location there, which got me thinking. They're building a new Costco in Kalispell right now as well, and I wonder if the new Costco in Kalispell is going to be even bigger than the one that was just built in Billings right now. I'll have to check. It sure looks like it when you drive by it, but I don't know. I'll have to get the numbers to figure out one way or the other. Or Evelyn, you're the business correspondent. Maybe you could track down those numbers for us. Well, Evelyn's got a lot more very interesting information here in the hot sheet and in the print edition of the Big Sky Business Journal. A tough job market for college graduates. That's one headline. Plus, we mentioned the Federal Reserve. She's got some more interesting information coming out of the Federal Reserve. So we'll get to that right after the Farm and Ranch Report right here with Montana Talks. And then later in the hour, we'll have the phone lines open for you and whatever you want to talk about.
It's Fox Wheels.
New car prices have held at about record levels since 2023, at just over $49,000 on average, with tariffs on things like aluminum not having much of an impact on sticker prices yet, as automakers seem to be taking a measured approach, recognizing that consumers are already financially stretched and don't want to risk losing sales or market share. Edmunds tells Fox Business that shoppers should expect automakers to be cautious in how they manage pricing and incentives. Analysts caution buyers to be aware of that balance between prices, which could scare away customers, and other profit centers where we could see steep increases on things like destination fees and repairs, automakers and dealers limiting incentives, and potentially regulating supply. The good news for used car buyers, there's an oversupply and prices continue falling. That's Fox Wheels. I'm Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins says USDA has crafted a plan to help rebuild America's shrinking beef herd.
Our cattle inventory, unfortunately, cannot be rebuilt overnight. We are developing a robust plan to revitalize and diversify the U.S. beef industry alongside our great partners in that industry for producers, processors, and consumers. We will provide more details at a rollout in mid-October alongside my partner, Secretary Doug Burgum.
Rollins did address the false online post that USDA would be paying cow-calf producers to retain their heifers instead of selling them. She said those false online rumors being spread by some cattlemen are fake news.
But to be clear, and there's been a lot of speculation about this in the news in the last couple of days, we have no current plans to offer any payment to beef producers. We see how the government getting involved can completely distort the markets. And so currently there will be no plan. No plan is even under consideration to insert ourselves through payments into the beef cattle industry. But our plan will focus on opening up more working lands, expanding our risk mitigation tools, expanding those risk mitigation tools for our beef cattle industry, and hopefully inspiring the next generation of farmers who hold the future of this great nation in their hands.
I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. I've got the hot sheet in front of me right now. Here is one of the headlines: job market tough for college graduates. Evelyn, looks like this is a national story. Might be a little bit better for folks here in Montana looking for opportunities in the state, given the low unemployment here in the state of Montana. But a lot of these college graduates, might not be the best job market out there for them right now.
Yes, apparently the portion of unemployed people who've been out of work for more than 6 months, which is considered long-term unemployment, rose to its highest share in over 3 years to nearly 26%, according to the New York Times. Just as surprising is the rise in long-term unemployment, which is a subset of workers who are increasingly driving it, according to the survey. It's the college educated. The fraction of long-term unemployed people with a college degree has grown from about one-fifth a decade ago to about one-third today. The problem has worsened over the past year. And one of the reasons that this might be higher than expected is the massive layoffs of government employees that President Trump initiated, and most of them are college educated, and they're out in the market looking for work and probably changing some careers and stuff. But also another thing is that the demand for we've talked about this before, but for trades, the demand for people working in the trades has increased tremendously, and you don't have to have a college education to get a really good job there. So those are a couple of things that are impacting who's looking for work and who's not.
Yeah, it was interesting that you reported in here that the job market for people without college degrees has improved. Now, whether that's just a byproduct of the numbers because there's too many people with college degrees that maybe didn't need college degrees or whatnot, but either way, the job market for people without college degrees has improved. I really love this. And of course, I've got a college degree, but Evelyn, I got to say, I just love this new trend where more and more companies are removing college degree requirements from from having a job or from getting promoted, for example. To me, that's just always one of the more absurd things, especially when you've got people that are already working in an industry and they're some of the best in their industry, the smartest people in their industry, with the most experience in their industry, and yet there's some absurd, well, since you don't have a college degree, we're going to promote, you know, Yahoo over here over you.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of even people with college degrees taking a job in a specific industry that they're not familiar with. They have to go through probably all the same training that somebody else without a college degree could already have. And I mean, that's been true for a long time. And you're right that they just automatically get rejected because they don't have a college degree. Has never made a lot of sense, but you know, this is the market, I guess. And well, and AI is also suggested as saying that with AI, they're not going to need as many college degree graduates. So
yeah,
that's kind of. Oh, improved technology means you don't have to be as smart. I don't know.
Well, and I also wonder, you know, too, this is part of the debate on Capitol Hill, which is, you know, you've got people that are refusing to work who are able-bodied adults. You know, not somebody with a disability or somebody who's got, you know, ill family members to take over. You got able-bodied working age adults that are refusing to go to work. So I wonder how that plays into these numbers as well. Another story I know you've been tracking here, Evelyn. Well, we mentioned the Federal Reserve when we were talking about home sales earlier. Apparently, what's that story you were tracking down with the Federal Reserve?
Well, it's sort of a mixed bag in their latest report, but of a general business survey from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. But they're saying that the uncertainty of the market weighs heavily on businesses in their six states, and businesses continue to struggle with high costs. About half of the survey respondents reported declines in both revenue and profits since last year due to lower customer demand and cost increases. And more businesses are reporting that wholesale prices have increased. And it seemed to be a balance between those who said that they had been impacted negatively by import or by tariffs and those who say they have benefited from tariffs. So it was kind of 50-50 on that issue.
Interesting. Hold that thought. We got to get the Fox News update here. Evelyn, if you can, stick with us. We'll come back to you here in 60 seconds. All right, looking, yeah, this is the headline in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet that Evelyn's referring to here. Economic uncertainty weighs heavy. Evelyn, I think it's interesting that this report comes from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, which is what covers our region here in Montana. But apparently, only about 5% of the survey respondents were from Montana. And I find that kind of interesting, but I also wonder, it's like, okay, well, Federal Reserve, you're worried about economic uncertainty. Well, then start lowering these interest rates more. I think that's the biggest thing that is really holding things back right now. But they did have a low number of respondents from Montana, because it's interesting because, you know, this headline of economic uncertainty weighs heavy. It's not what you're hearing from that the National Federation of Independent Business, which represents all small business owners here in Montana, for example. You know, you're hearing something different from, you know, the NFIB, and you're seeing something different in the economic numbers that are coming out. Like just last week, for example, when we saw some of the job numbers that came out, or the GDP numbers that came out last week.
Well, yeah, and there was part of their report that I was just amazed at, because Montana is doing well, according to whatever 5% response they got, but Montana scored higher than the other six states in that district for the first quarter this year in gross domestic product growth at 117.1. And Montana is the only state in that district to exceed the national average of 115.1. and it's a trajectory that Montana has been on since 2022. Montana has been at the top of gross domestic product growth. Montana has also had the highest employment in that district, and its unemployment level has consistently been sort of in the middle of the pack. And currently, it's not 2.9%. But all the states in the ninth district have unemployment rates below the national average, which is currently 4.3%. Also, and this is just kind of interesting, Montana has the highest percentage of quits. In other words, people just quitting their job voluntarily, probably changing jobs, but at 2.9%, and people are just going to another job. I mean, apparently they're finding better opportunities more frequently than maybe in other states. And again, that's a long-standing trend for Montana that goes back to 2019.
That's very interesting, especially what you said about since 2022 and now Montana leading our region in so many of these different categories. You know, it's almost as if having a Republican governor and a Republican legislature makes a difference in these sorts of things. I remember when we used to just get our butts kicked in the regional rankings on practically everything about the economy. Evelyn Pyburn, appreciate your reporting as always. Make sure you sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet to get that in your email, and to sign up to get the print edition delivered as well. These are even more information packed into that.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, they got Bad Bunny performing the halftime show for the Super Bowl. Oh, man, I can only handle about one Bad Bunny song, and then it's hala, bala, bala, bala. It's like, my goodness, am I back in the Middle East? What is going? Why is this guy shouting like that nonstop? It's like you're at a... It's like you're in an interrogation room or something whenever too many Bad Bunny songs are playing on the radio. I got a message from Evan in Belt here. Well, isn't that just great? Message from Evan in Belt. And when I read his message that came in on the Montana Talks app, I thought, oh, man, I must have missed a news story. I was brewing some coffee at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I forgot to have the app turned on with the news update, so I must have missed something. And, okay, this is the news story that I missed at the top of the hour, so maybe you missed it too. Yeah, apparently the NFL has made their pick. They've announced their artist for the 2026 Super Bowl halftime show, and this has got to be the report that Evan was referring to.
Well, adios!
Rapper and singer Bad Bunny will perform during the big game at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California on February 8th. He's had a big year, a new album in January and a 30-day residency in San Juan that drew more than half a million fans. The Grammy winner is set to host the Saturday Night Live season opener next weekend and is leading all nominees at the Latin Grammys. Bad Bunny was born in Puerto Rico and recently explained he was not including the mainland U.S. in his latest tour because he was concerned that fans would be targeted by ICE agents. Just minutes before the Super Bowl announcement was made, he posted on social media that he did plan one U.S. show after all. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Oh, this could be today's oh for Pete's sake moment. I'm not going to do any shows in the U.S. Well, I did one. Oh, and I guess I'll show up for the Super Bowl halftime show. Give me a break. Anyway, Evan and Belt said this. He says, well, isn't that just great? The NFL just announced they're going to have an Emmy-winning rapper to do that. I know the Emmys. Lottie freaking da, right? About these stinking Emmys. Anyway, the NFL just announced they're going to have an Emmy-winning rapper to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl show. And this guy won't even do a show in the U.S. because he is concerned that ICE would arrest some of his fans. Evan says this, just one more reason I will not watch the NFL because it is an anti-American woke business. Fire Roger Goodell and get rid of some of the spineless owners and maybe I would start watching these overpaid players again. That's from Evan in Belt. Fred in the Flathead sent us this message. I was talking with Evelyn Pyburn about, you know, we were talking about some of the jobs numbers and how, you know, the job market isn't looking too good for college graduates. But if you're not a college graduate, the job market apparently looks a lot better. And I had made the point that one of the trends I'm really appreciating is this trend. More and more you're seeing employers and more businesses are saying, hey, we used to have a requirement that people have a college degree, but we're doing away with that requirement because we're just going to have the best people. We're just going to hire the best people for the job. We're going to promote the best people for the job, whether you check some college degree box or not. And I think it's just another sign of, you know, we've seen just the absurdity coming from so many of these college campuses. And, you know, and especially I think what really put a spotlight on it was the anti-Semitism and what was going on these places like Columbia. And I think it's just waking up more Americans to say, wait a minute, why are we putting so much of an emphasis on sending these kids to these woke factories that are just churning out this anti-American sentiment and rhetoric and this anti-Semitism? Like, why do we put so much of an emphasis on this degree right now? And so it's good to see more and more companies just doing away with that requirement. Now, Fred in the Flathead said this. He says, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks still requires a college degree for game wardens. This cuts out a lot of Montanans who would be great for that job. Fred, thanks for that message. Fred, if I'm not mistaken, I think when we had the director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks on the show, I think, didn't you bring that up? Somebody, I thought, brought that point up, raised that question, which was great because it was just kind of a random topic that came up when we had the director on. That's why it's so great that we take your phone calls and integrate your messages into the show when we have these big guests on the program, because you guys always have better questions than I do. And so that's why I love being able to use your questions, but better yet, your phone calls when you call in. But I think you raised that topic, and I remember the director at the time said that that's something that they're looking at doing away with is a college degree requirement on that very front. I think it was Fred who mentioned that. Let's see, Tim and Savage jumping in on the Super Bowl halftime show. In lieu of finding an artist to perform, they got Bad Rabbit. I might have actually watched out of curiosity, except for his comment about ice. Despicable. So he just won't even be tuning in for the halftime show now. All right, Tim, appreciate the message. We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. One alibi, one thing I wanted to bring up following our Back to Business segment with Evelyn Pyburn. You know, we were talking about the economic numbers and in this report out of the Minneapolis Fed. And isn't it interesting that this headline out of the Minneapolis Fed makes it look like there's concerning economic news? Well, the numbers in the Minneapolis region, there's a lot of uncertainty. But there was such a low response rate from Montana. And yet, what did Evelyn Pyburn tell us? She says that Montana is leading in all of these different categories. So if you were somebody who wanted to make the numbers look bad, when they may not be bad, what would you do? You would take your highest performing state, Montana, in this region's instance, and you would ignore their numbers or minimize their numbers to make the overall numbers look worse. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Speaking of numbers, CNBC. I had this clip queued up for you on Friday. We never got to it, but CNBC was talking about how, I think it was the GDP numbers. Anyway, another key economic metric. They had to revise the numbers again because this economic resurgence under President Trump continues. Here you go. This comes via, is it Kush Desai on X, but it's a clip from CNBC.
Now, on the GDP side, this is our third time around the block on Q2, and we see a really solid revision, 3.8%. I'm a bit shocked, to be honest. Usually the revisions as you get to second and third become smaller and smaller. So 3.8% would be the best quarter going back to, and we have to go back a ways here, to 4.4, and that was the third quarter of 23. Now, it is important to point out that if you look at the first quarter final, down 0.5%. There's a balance there, but the balance is moving in favor, and momentum is moving in favor for better growth.
All right, and that comes from CNBC. Yeah, and again, keep in mind, this is just President Trump's, he's only been in office for what, 8 months now? This is only his first 8 months in office, and so he's just getting started. And yet it's funny, you see like the liberal Lee newspapers, and they're like, President Trump's promises to the black community aren't coming true. It's like, it's the first 8 months, my goodness. And they're like, oh, that's it. Not working. you just have to laugh when you see some of these liberal Lee newspapers headlines. Tim in Billings on the phone lines. Tim, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. So you were just talking about the person that's going to do the halftime show and, you know, just these leftists in general with their ideology. I just got to thinking, it's like, do you think, what percentage of these people do you think understand that they're being utilized to destroy Western civilization and even care? Or, you know, how many of them do you think are actively engaged in wanting to destroy Western civilization? And how many of them are just, well, this is the flavor of the day that the left tells me to go and do, and I mean, you could tell them to have a crap sandwich, and they go and have a crap sandwich because the leftists say so, and Trump said it was bad for them, and they just—they're so dumb.
It's organic.
Or so gullible, or they can't even think for themselves enough to think maybe this isn't a good idea. I mean, there's definitely a percentage that are nefarious in their ideology and want to see Western civilization collapse because the patriarchy or whatever other garbage they think is, you know,
good point.
They're making them have a bad day. So, how many of them are just so dumb and gullible?
Yeah,
that they just,
that's a
they
really good point. Yeah, how many people are just the wear the ribbon? You know, like the Seinfeld episode. You got to wear the ribbon. I don't want to wear the ribbon. No, you got to wear the ribbon. How many of these people, yeah, like you say, are the ones that just wear the ribbon to virtue signal? Well, here's what I care about today. These 25 different things. And then tomorrow it'll be 25 other ribbons. And how many people are the diehards that actually want to destroy this country? That's a really good question. Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. All right, we're going to get to Jerry in Circle next.
CRM was supposed to improve customer relationships. Instead, it's shorthand for customer rage machine. Your CRM can't explain why a customer's package took 5 detours? Reboot your inner peace and scream into a pillow. It's okay. On the ServiceNow AI platform, CRM stands for something better. AI agents don't just track issues, they resolve them, transforming the entire customer experience. So breathe in and breathe out. Bad CRM was then. This is ServiceNow.
Fox News commentary.
A Michigan mayor told an American citizen he's not welcome in his own city. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
At a Dearborn City Council meeting, a longtime resident and American citizen stood up and voiced concern over newly installed street signs honoring Osama Sablani, publisher of the Arab American News. He pointed out that Sablani has a history of praising terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and shouldn't be honored. While Dearborn's Mayor Abdullah Hamoud, a public servant who's supposed to represent all of Dearborn, not just its Muslim population, unloaded on him. He called him a racist and an Islamophobe, and he had the audacity to tell an American citizen he's not welcome in his own city. City for daring to question whether taxpayer-funded honors should go to someone with a history of praising anti-American terrorist groups. That's not just offensive, it's BS. When an elected official tells dissenting citizens to get out because they disagree with him, that is not leadership. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. Slight chance for a shower storm late in Bozeman. For tonight, otherwise looking at clear to partly cloudy skies, slight chance for a shower storm in the Bozeman area. Low temperatures in the upper 40s in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. Then with sunshine on Tuesday, slight chance for a shower storm in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
How influencers with large followings targeted Montanans. The nutty professor who celebrated a political terrorist assassination on American soil is not a Montanan. She's not even American. So get her out of here. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That was my rant in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. I think it came up again in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Either way, with the Montana Talks app.
Hey, for picking up the phone.
Schultz Homes for Majestic Homes. Price for living, built for life.
3% down payment. Offer subject to credit approval. See Majestic Homes for full terms and details.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Let's turn now to Jerry in Circle. Jerry, great to hear from you. What's going on this morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron. I was just actually stepped out of the pickup to fill in a couple badger holes when I heard your discussion about game warnings here before the break there.
Yeah.
So... here a week before last, we were in Helena for our quarterly interim committee meetings, and the appropriations subcommittee that I chair on natural resources and transportation, one of our agencies, is Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And during the discussion came up, we typically go through vacancies, the positions open, and things like that. And last session, we authorized and appropriated funding for 7 additional game wardens across the state, one in each district. And none of those positions have been filled yet, and so the conversation was around why. And one of the things that was mentioned is that game wardens have to have a bachelor's degree, and that they are the only law enforcement positions in Montana that require a bachelor's degree. Not highway patrol, not sheriffs, not city police. And so the conversation then went about why. And the answers we got was that it was a union requirement that somehow got put in there sometime years back and is still there today. So whether that's something that we can addressed statutorily or not, I haven't found out yet, but it definitely needs to be changed.
Yeah, it seems like you'd think this would be something pretty easy to fix. Maybe the, which union did it, or maybe the Game Wardens Association can weigh in. You don't require this of any other law enforcement agency. Why would you require it of game wardens unless they want them to go get, you know, the woke leftist, environmental wacko ideology shoved down their throat in 4 years of college, when it's like, no, we got young men and women who grew up hunting here in Montana. They know the outdoors. They love the outdoors. Train them like you would other law enforcement. Get them out there working on the job. Just seems to make sense.
Exactly. And I think, as you were pointing out in your discussion earlier, there's a lot of good qualified people that can do a lot of vocations and jobs and all sorts of things that certainly don't need a college degree. College degrees have an advantage for a lot of things. I was glad I went and I got my degree. I thought the one thing that it did help me is it helped me learn how to learn. Didn't make me smarter, but it helped me learn how to learn and ask questions. So I appreciate that. But for a lot of things, it's certainly not a requirement.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm glad I went to college. I think for what I like to do and what I like to talk about, it was helpful, right? Not necessarily necessary, but helpful. But yeah, I think probably a majority of people working in Montana radio and that do not have college degrees. It's more of like a trades education where they learn the skills on the job, or maybe went to a broadcast school or what have you. But yeah, for those who don't know, this is Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle. So yeah, he is closely following these types of discussions. Well, yeah, keep us posted on that because, yeah, especially since the legislature allocated funding for more game wardens and they need to get them hired and they're having trouble getting them hired. Well, this seems to be something that should be done sooner rather than later. So what's the holdup? Let's get her done. Jerry, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're getting short on time now. Mark in Livingston, I'll tell you what, that's taking us right into the next break here. But, Mark, if you can, stay with us on the phone lines, or if you want to call back in, like, you know, 5-10 minutes or so, we can get you on. Actually, we can start the 8 o'clock hour with your phone call because we've got open phones for the first half of the 8 o'clock hour coming up right after this, 406-294-0970. But, Mark, I will open up the show with your phone call. I don't even have to say squat. We'll just go right to Mark in Livingston when we kick off the 8 o'clock hour of the show coming up right after this.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.